This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Very nice poetic verse from Sheikh Saadi. Maybe some of you know him, Sheikh Saadi Shirazi, Muslihuddin. He really was one of the great poets of Persian language. You know, Sunni, because now even people think about Iran, they always think about, you know, Shias. But in those days, Iran was Shafi'i. Very few Shia there. Most people are Shafi'i, Sunni, Muslim. And all the great poets of Iran who are, you know, we are proud of them, none of them are Shia. They're all Sunni. Hafiz Shirazi, Khaqani, and Anwari, Firdausi, all these people, they're called the prophets of Persian language. And in the madrasad, when we started, first thing we have to learn is Farsi, Persian language, especially Sheikh Saadi. His books have been always part of the curriculum. So he's from the 7th century of Hijra. He died. He was a student of Ibn Jawzi. He mentioned his book, Kulista, that I studied with Ibn Jawzi in Baghdad. So he studied with him. He also met the great Sufi Shaykh, the founder of Sohrawardi Silsila, Shaykh Shihabuddin Sohrawardi. I'm sure he had a very nice story with him. He said, once I was traveling in the water, in the river, and I was waiting for the boat. And there was also Sheikh Shihabuddin Sohrawardi. And the boat came and I paid the fare and I went. Sheikh had no money. Then I saw Sheikh walking on his mat over the water. So I asked Sheikh, how did you come? So Sheikh said, you came, by the boat, and I came by the one actually who made all the world. But anyway, so there he said, Sheikh, I asked Sheikh over the water, give me some advice. So Sheikh gave me this advice. The first thing is, never think that you are better than anybody else. Don't think that you are better than other people. And never think that anybody is lower than you. So it is very nice advice. But anyway, so it reminded me of Sheikh Saadi. He said in the beginning of Gulista, he said, Abrobado maho khurshido falak darkarand ta tunane bakaf ari wa baghaflat nakhuri. He said, all these cloud, sun, moon, the water, all these are working very hard. Very, very hard. All the time keep working. Why? So you can get a bread and eat it. Just to make one bread, you need the whole universe. You know, the cloud, the sun, the air, moon and water, everything actually working just to get you one bread. We really don't realize how much effort is behind one bread. Actually, sometimes we waste it. We don't, appreciate it, how much effort there is. So similarly, when we are working, when studying, in Aslam Institute, or we are teaching, how much effort there is made by the staff, we don't realize. So we should, remember them and thank them well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah, to them and their family, and, and reward them for their hard work. Because money cannot pay people. So whatever effort they make, really, it is not paid in this world. Money only pays very little. Most of the efforts, when people have their heart and all those things, that only Allah knows and He can pay. Nobody can pay them. So first we have to thank them. Similarly, I have to thank also brother and Ustad Andrew Bosu for actually his effort that always supporting Aslam Institute, mashallah, on the annual function, he's the one who presiding and conducting, and also at least throughout the year, mashallah, always support, and sometimes he, sends a message to me for encouragement. Sometimes we talk over the phone. Though last few months I didn't talk too much because of, when I speak on the phone, actually I get a pain in my ear and a headache. But still, alhamdulillah, we are touched. We are thankful, grateful to him as well. Similarly, we must thank all the Assalam teachers because it is their effort that, things happening. I only can teach, some people, but all these classes, now the program is for 7 years. So, we need more teachers. So, Ustad Abid, Abdul Hakim, and Shafi, Tariq Palur, and Abu Huraira, and Ustad Sabih, Akhlaq Chaudhary, and Hassan, and so many others. Actually, maybe I forgot everybody. Umar Khan, mashallah. so many people, alhamdulillah, teaching. We have to thank them. I really, you know, they work hard. It is not really easy to teach people Arabic language. So when akhlaq was, you know, reading from, you know, some books that, you know, reminding the students, it really, you know, reminded my own days in the madrasa, that how, you know, we love really to find any book. We didn't have book really. If you come to my village, you know, you'll see really that, you know, it is so far away. But still, the, you know, teachers used to manage to teach. If we get any book in Arabic, we're so happy. Some of the books that I studied, we have to copy them. Only one book in the library. So every student has to copy with the hand and then read with the sheikh. It was not, it alhamdulillah reminded me. So we don't realize really how much effort there is. You know, people teach Arabic and the reward is high. Because, you know, if you teach anything to the people, you know, and which can help people to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huge reward. And alhamdulillah, you know, Brother Abid, you know, he reminded, very good reminder, mashallah, and akhlaq, mashallah, about Arabic language, and also the sacrifice made by the great scholars, especially, you know, Ibn Abi Hatim, Al-Razi, and people like him. And also Sheikh Abdul Hakim, mashallah, he moved my heart, you know, my heart with a reminder. Because most people, that's true, really, love fiqh. The reason is, it gives a position. But truth really, fiqh is not the guidance. Guidance is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we need in the West is not people who can give fatwa. We need people who can change people's life, who can make people nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and that only can be done by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, certainly we need muftis as well. We need fuqaha. We need muhaddithin. But most importantly, we need really people who study deeply the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They really become close to Allah and attached, you know, to his book. You know, book is ocean, book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah has no limit. His book has no limit. Whenever people say that, you know, we have 1,000 points in Surah Yusuf, I say, no. You never can comprehend. You know, people cannot comprehend what this finger is. The finger is created. Quran is not created. Nobody can comprehend. Amazing. Every time you read, really, it helps you. So I will really remind all of you that, you know, do whatever you like, but spend most time, you know, on the Quran. It really, you know, gives, it can make you like Ibrahim alayhi salam. At least, you know, closer, nearer to them. You can understand him, how Ibrahim alayhi salam has been and all these prophets. So certainly, you know, it is, this was a good reminder. And now actually, you know, in the beginning, I used to love poetry and all those things. Rumi is next to my bed. But I realized really that nothing equal to the Quran. When you read the Quran, it is really something different, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of you certainly needs to reflect on that. And then actually, I was also really impressed by the, you know, speech of the students, you know, all of them, you know, Brother Aisha Chaudhary and Umar Mughal, you know, the others, maybe I can't read all of the names, Shamsuddin Wahid, you know, all these people, and Junaid, and also the sister, what her name, I forgot the name anyway. So all these, you know, Farzana. So, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, you people really learned this important message. You know, we all actually love that if you can excel. You know, teachers love their students if they can become better than them. You know, generally people don't like anybody else to excel them. But for the students, they love because there is their extension. So we really, you know, we have no jealousy with the students. Maybe I have jealousy with Akhlaq, his teacher, but he also my student. But we have maybe jealousy with the teachers, but not with the students. We love them. You know, I remember there was Maula Farahi studying in the University of Aligarh. And the founder of the university, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, was at that time, you know, he was there, he's the founder. So once he said that in the university, we have got a student who knows Arabic more than the teachers. And he meant Maula Farahi. Then the teachers became upset. They came to Allama Shirin Nu'mani, and the complaint to him, the insult to the teachers, that Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan said that there are some students who know Arabic more than the teachers. So Shibli said, you people should be upset, but not me. Because the one he's praising, he's my student. So I don't have problem, you know, if Maula Farahi becomes better than me. So this thing really, when you excel, we don't have problem really. And certainly, you know, in As-Salam Institute, we have no intention to impose upon you anything. No, really. We only want to give you tools and mind and thinking. After that, you are responsible. So that's why I always have been reminding that we give you two things. Authority means shahada, to have authority to learn, to teach, and also responsibility. You are responsible, whatever you teach. You know, we are not responsible. You are responsible, have responsibility. We never want anybody, we don't want to create a team of followers. Actually, I'm against taqlid anyway. We don't want you to become my muqallid. No, you are free. You actually, if you differ me with the argument, I'll be more happy. Differ me, oppose me, criticize me, write a book against me, I have no problem. As long as actually, maybe I learn from you really. Maybe I can actually change my opinions. Because, you know, I just keep changing. You know, somebody reminded one of the Indian poet Ghalib, the last year you said this, and now you change. So Ghalib said, these are ideas. They keep changing. You know, thoughts keep changing. Don't think that I'm stuck with the same thing all the time. You know, if people remain on the same thing, it means they don't study. They don't learn. It had to be changed. So, you know, sometimes I remember when I started teaching Islam in Oxford, and some of these, you know, women students, they came to my class. You know, I encouraged them. And I really learned from them, from their questions. And actually, I keep learning. When people keep asking the question, I always keep learning. As Abdul Hakim reminded me, you know, I always change, you know, evolve in thinking. I know maybe, you know, in those ideas, they remain fresh in my mind. But anyway, change is something good, you know, because we don't get revelation. So we learn. And when you learn, you improve yourself. So certainly, you know, we really make dua for all of you. May Allah bless you. And as our Shaykh Abu Hassan Adhuri Rahimullah used to advise us at the end of the year that when you become alim, you know, what you get is the key of the knowledge. So now you can open the treasures. So you got the key to open all the treasures. So you have to make effort. It's according to your effort, you get whatever, you know, you want. And then I also like really to reflect on the, you know, speech of my teacher, Shaykh Muhammad Rabi Hassan al-Nadwi. Many of you don't know really how important he is. He's a very old man. He was born in 1929. So he's more than 90 years, 1929 from Christian, you know, calendar, 1929. So more than 90 years old. You know, when I came to the Tulam as a student, he was the most senior teacher that time. So I'm talking to you, you know, something around nearly 40 years back. He was the most senior teacher. Now you imagine, he's still there, alhamdulillah, Allah gave him barakah. And he's certainly now, whoever I meet in India, they say, he is the most pious scholar in India. No love for dunya. You know, there are people who are trick, you know, they want to make you disciple and then get money from you and gifts. Shaykh Muhammad Rabi, if you meet him, you know really he does, he has no interest in this world, in dunya. Zuhud. Good manner, from very beginning really, he's a very noble man. If you sit with him, you can see nobility from him. You learn from his akhlaq, his manner, a pious person. He's basically no doubt leader of all Muslim organizations in India. He's the top man, everybody will respect him. From noble family of Shorafa, Ashraf, he's the nephew of Sheikh Rasul Ali Nadwi. And alhamdulillah, actually he likes me, and he loves me. So he gave you ijazah. To be connected through him is actually a big honor for all of you. So when he sent the speech, there was no ijazah. So then I phoned him again. I said, no, please, the students have to get ijazah as well. Then he, you know, sent another message. Now they put all the messages together, but it was different, three messages, and they have been put together. And then he said to me, you know, if you can ask them to read first hadith at least to you. So then I have given to all of them my ijazah. So alhamdulillah, you know, you are now connected. You know, in this silsila, Mubarak actually, from Muhammad Rabe to all the authors of the books of Hadith and through them to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to all the companions. And people say, actually, what can be, you know, through the ijada better than this, that you are connected to a chain where you are the first person and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the end. So you basically, you know, move from one to the other in the same chain, same family. So this is one important thing. I don't know how much time there is really, because there are so many ideas, critical thoughts coming. So Abul Farhan remind me when the time is over. Is Ustaz Nomal Ali Khan there?
He is here, but Sheikh, you can continue as long as you wish.
No, if he's there, maybe he can. I don't know if he has time. Maybe he can, and then I can come back again. Or you want me to complete?
You can complete your point, inshallah. And also, Ustad Abdul Hakim is asking if you can also read the Hadith al-Rahma as well at the end, inshallah.
Well, I should have read in the beginning. I read in the beginning. Okay, I didn't read any Hadith anyway. So I'll start with that. بأسانيدنا إلى الإمام سفيان بن عيينة عن عمرو بن دينار عن أبي قابوس مولى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى يرحم من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. So I've given you إجازة of this hadith or all the hadith and not only for you and your descendants inshallah, whoever is born when I'm alive. My jada includes all of them. Anyway, because Ustad Noam Ali Khan is here, inshallah, and he's one of the expert of the, you know, Quranic tafsir, and mashallah, working very hard in this field. So he will give some advice as well, inshallah. But I just like to remind something for the students who have graduated here. This morning, you know, somebody sent me from Saudi Arabia a fatwa of a scholar. He was asked about a woman, you know, who has got some beard on her face. Can she remove the hair? So the scholar became very angry and he wrote a fatwa and saying that, you know, if the woman gets all the beard on her face, she's not allowed even to remove one hair. And if she removes any hair, she will be cursed by Allah and His Messenger. This fatwa. And similarly, you know, same this morning, somebody sent me, you know, he's very much in the, you know, walking, you know, he said, you know, the best exercise to walk. So now he has collecting the verse of the Quran where the walking has come. So I say, you know, said to them, understand, the Quran does not come to teach people walking. Maybe walking is very important for to you, but to Quran, there's something more important. So you can see really all these things happening in this world. You know, this fatwa is coming. Tell me really what happens. There are hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when the ulama die, then those who are not learners, they take the place, they become leaders, and then they mislead people. And they mislead and they mislead the people. Now it is your responsibility in the West. Work hard, really. If you don't teach, what will happen is the wrong teaching will prevail. And there's so much to be done. What happens for many, many people is they always look really what we can't do. Then they keep complaining all their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never likes that. He never likes people who complain. His way is, see what you can do, and then do it. And then He will grow it. He will give more barakah. Always think, this is my space. I have got this knowledge. In this space, how can I, you know, teach Islamic sciences? And how can I improve people's life? And how can I guide people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I make them to enter to paradise? What I can do? Allah will guide you. You start with one thing, and many, many things will keep coming. That's what you need to learn. That, you know, don't compare. And actually reminds the story of the people of cave. You know, these are six, seven, whatever number, the seven people. Very tough condition. Much tougher than we can imagine, really. Such a tough condition. They even can, they're basically, they think they will lose their life. And they can be forced to become, you know, kafir. And the Quran praises them. That, you know, they are the young people. Fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. Wazidnahum huda. Quran has so much praise for them. When you read actually their life in the Quran, what Quran mentions is that how much concerned they are about their faith. And they say, oh my Lord, if you don't help us, we think that, you know, we can be forced to become kafir. They ask, they depend on the Lord, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and helped them. In that story, you never see any word when they complain. They don't complain that, oh, we don't have space. We don't have numbers. There's no complaint. Whatever space they have got, a small cave, in that small cave, they're content. And only worry they have got, how they can please their Lord. Think really, don't we have space much better than their space? Yeah, think really. Same Yusuf alayhi salam, never complains the space. You know, his space is well, small well. Then he's in the palace of this lady who basically corrupt. And she wants to corrupt him. Then he's forced to be in a prison. But when you read his biography, you never find a man who is frustrated, who's angry. He's never an angry person. In all this condition, he's actually in a firm. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That whatever space you have given, thank Allah. Don't mention what you don't have. or where they mention what you have got. Think really what, how much I can do. And then do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open more doors for you and more possibilities for you. That how the people excelled in the past. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, did not have all the space. Actually, the space was not in his favor. But whatever he could do, he did. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him to excel to all those people who actually have got all the space. He was not the Qadi of Kufa. He was not a governor of Kufa. This post were in the hands of those people who actually used to oppose him. But now how many of you don't know who was the governor of Kufa in Abu Hanifa's time? How many people know who was Qadi of Kufa? We don't know. Actually, their name only come in the biography of Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala. Imam Malik, Medina. Tough life, not easy really. Governor of Medina actually even punished him sometime. But think really, firm. You know, whatever he can do, he did it. Ahmed Hanbal, you know what happened to him. Same as Shafi, not very easy life, in poverty. All these people, no complaint. Whatever space they got, they used it. Khalid ibn Ahmad al-Farahidi, the man of language, he's not a muhaddith or faqih. Very poor person, nothing really. Just one dry bread he used to say to his students that, you know, I just got this dry bread, I'm going to eat. You have to find your own food. But you see, his name really remained, you know, alive. That what you need to learn really. Never complain the space. Some people always will teach you, we need khilafa and state. So unless they get khilafa, they can't do anything. They keep talking about khilafa, nothing happens. For 200 years, Muslims have been talking about the khilafa. So tell me what happens if you keep talking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gives you something unless you do something. Ideas have no importance unless they are acted upon, unless they are implemented. A small idea, when it's put in practice, it really brings big fruit. But great ideas, without any practice, nothing happens to them there. So that what we need to learn, understand really, that, you know, don't think you are small. Never think. You know, like, you know, somebody sent me last night, a student complained that our Arabic is so weak and this, nothing compared to our teachers, you know, how can we translate anything and how can do any work? So I was thinking we need to remind the people, everybody was like that. You know, I remember when I came to Nazrat Ulama, actually my grammar was very good. I never learned grammar in Nazrat Ulama. I learned grammar in a small madrasa, in my village, not in Nazrat Ulama. And alhamdulillah, my grammar was very good. The teachers used to say that those who studied grammar before coming to Nadwa, they are the best. So though I knew the grammar, but I remember that we never had practice to speak Arabic. So in Nadwa, they have program where you speak. So once I gave my first speech, so I used a sentence with inna, and I made isma fi inna marfu. Then everybody laughed. And teacher actually was so shocked that I made, you know, the isma fi inna mansub. Marfu, but thing really, you know, you don't remember because things that you are, you know, scared and all those things. So such a silly mistake can happen. So, you know, people should not think that my Arabic is weak or this or that. Not everybody has been like that. You know, Quran says, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. You know, everybody has actually this weakness, you know, problem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, you know, nobody is born from the mother, you know, a learned person. You know, if I count my mistakes, you know, there'll be so many that if people remember them, they become alim. You know, like I remember one of the minister of, Abbasid Empire, once the Khalifa asked him a question, he didn't have answer. So Khalifa became angry. He said, actually, we pay you such huge money and you don't have answer. So the minister said, you pay me for what I know. If you pay me for what I don't know, your treasures will finish. You can't pay me. You only pay me for what I know. So think of it, even the best minister, he does not know everything. Abu Hanifa does not know everything. Imam Malik actually, questions come to him so many. He said, Al-Adri, I don't know. Bukhari used to say, I don't know. If you don't know, there's no problem. But, you know, make effort to know, learn more and more. And whatever you know, use it. So I think really, you know, you don't need a long speech. And alhamdulillah, you know, I said enough. And if we, you know, implement those few words, inshallah, of the wisdom, you know, it really be helpful for us. But anyway, remind you that don't think that you are, you know, inferior to anybody or weak. You know, yeah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one of you can be as best as possible. And we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us and guide all of us and make us blessed his servants and also grant us paradise in the akhirah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.